Welcome to Real People, Real Conversations, a platform for everyday people to share their experiences, hardships, and teachable moments. This podcast acts as a safe space for discussions surrounding grief, shame, vulnerability, and overcoming life's curveballs. My name is Sarah, and as your host, I hope that through our discussions, you are able to find comfort in knowing you're not alone. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Real People, Real Conversations. This episode is all about making your home your haven. I get to sit down with Jennifer Courtney, the master of cozy, the queen of organization, and as well as being an amazing children's book author. She does it all while being a mama to four kiddos. Now, in this episode, we talk about how to organize your home inexpensively with what you have. We're not talking about going out to the big box stores and buying hundreds of dollars of organizational tools to organize your home. We're talking about using what you got and how we can transform our homes into a cozy oasis for our families. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with the amazing Jennifer Courtney. Hi, Jen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm so glad we finally got to sit down. This feels like it's been a long time in the works, meeting you, what was it, a year ago?
Yeah, probably about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Jen and I met last year at an event she was doing and organizing over in Wingham for really women's empowerment and really connecting with other women, connecting with ourselves and taking that time to really nourish our souls, our minds and our bodies. So Jen, thank you for that opportunity to meet you there. I know you asked for me to come in and speak, and it was really, and I don't say this lightly, it was a life-changing moment for me to be able to connect with other women and really share my story about how we need to stop shooting ourselves. And I was introduced to you and your story at that time, and it was like it was meant to be.
Well, I'm so glad. I feel the same. The universe orchestrated us meeting in such a way that I don't take it lightly at all. I think it was the perfect timing, and yeah, I totally agree.
So for those of us who don't know you, I know you quite well now and what you do, but would you share with those who don't know you or are maybe not as familiar with your work what it is you do and what you bring into this world? Because it's really amazing.
Oh, thank you. So first and foremost, I am a mama, and that is a job that I take super seriously. So we have four children, my husband and I am a children's book author as well, which is just the most amount of fun of anything I think I have going on in my life, because it allows me just to be light and go right back to being a child, which I think is incredible. So I also am a certified coach practitioner. So when I started my journey into coaching, I really was focused on personal growth and helping women really tap into who they really want to be and working through our fears and our limiting beliefs that hold us back from becoming that woman. During my journey with that, as much as I loved it, I had a completely separate calling that had been calling me since I was a child. And I kept pushing it aside, feeling that it wasn't, I kept kind of saying to myself, it wasn't really that important. It wasn't really going to help people. It wasn't really going to change lives. And over the years, it just kept nagging at me. So ultimately, I actually stepped away a little bit from the personal growth side of my coaching and have really started diving deep into our homes and home organization and creating and cultivating cozy and safe and really family-oriented homes as best as possible in all different types of families, like big families, small families, blended families. And that's really where my focus has been going. And that's where my heart has been leading me. So that's where the train kind of jumped tracks. And I have been diving more into that, and it's been going amazing. And yeah, I'd owned a clothing store for 8 years and just recently sold that, and been really focusing on homes and living intentionally.
You have so many skills, and the one thing when I think of you, I think that you are the creator of the cozy, the safe, and the clutter-free. It's you have this essence about you that just wraps people in and makes them feel safe, and your ability to break down what it is about our homes that can make us stress, and to be able to make us not feel guilty about that, and open and ready to discuss these things that, some people, we're very private about our homes, I find, and we're very much attached to the things in our homes and our environment. And the way that you speak about letting things go and the physical and emotional attachment to things and how they play a role in our mental health is so beautifully done. And I was wanting to know, during the time right now, we're kind of in this lockdown, it seems, we're social distancing and spending a lot of time in our home. What advice would you give someone who's feeling like, where do we start? We're feeling maybe triggered by our home, kind of stewing and wanting to do something. What can we do right now in this time to make us feel more cozy, more safe, and more at ease in our own home?
Oh, I love that question. It actually almost makes me emotional thinking about it. So number one, I think that we just need to, as you said, like let go of the guilt of our homes, right? So there's no Lots of people can look on the internet and see all these beautiful homes. That's not the reality for lots of us as far as like these million-dollar homes, right? So we're talking about real family homes where we have to get our kids shuffled in and out every day, right? So the big thing that I think like that we could all do is just take a minute to think about how your typical days run, and what are some areas in your home that aren't working for you. So for lots of people, it could be like even just your entranceway, right? Like we go in and out of that space so many times in the course of a day. And if that space isn't set up in a way that serves your family and your family's needs, that can be a really big stressor every day for you. How many times a day can that be a stressor for you, right? So I think that you just look around your own home. As you move about your day, notice the areas that bring up these feelings of, right? So if it's, I'm going to get Tupperware so I can pack lunches and everything comes out, that can be a stressor area. And that's not stuff to take lightly, right? Because the truth is, we live in our homes, we function in our homes, we're raising our children. And when we have constant triggers, it's really hard to continually stay calm and to stay positive and to be putting our intention into the areas that we would prefer to put it into outside of just constantly controlling our frustration because Tupperware is falling down on us. So everyone's home is going to be really different and everyone's schedules are different. So right now, while we're all really hunkered into our homes, just be mindful of how you're moving about your space. What areas are your children gravitating towards? Are there areas in that space, in that area where you can downsize? Are they pulling out all these toys, but really only playing with a handful of them, but leaving a scattered mess of all the rest? Well, then perhaps those toys aren't the toys that they're feeling like they want to be playing with. So then those can be removed. So it's things like that, just really looking at how you use your home, what areas trigger you, and then kind of coming up with a wee bit of a plan and knowing that you can't do it all at once. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned like the entrance way, and I actually was thinking about you the other week when I redid my entrance way because it wasn't working. And I've heard you speak before, and I heard you in my head saying, "How can I make this feel good for our family? How can I take the stress out of this?" And I ended up redoing my whole entrance way, and I was just like, it was like a Marie Kondo or however you say her name moment, but only it was a Jennifer moment, and I was so excited. And For us, it's so easy to just keep shoving that Tupperware in that drawer and letting it fall out, not even realizing that, yeah, it's stressing us out, especially first thing in the morning for making lunches and the Tupperware is falling out. And if that's stressing us, then it's also kind of having an impact on our day, not only ourselves, but with our kids, because they're seeing us stress out and then we're maybe a little grumpier. And it just kind of, it's that snowball effect where it's kind of going into the whole family, the whole environment. It carries off into the day, into the week, maybe. And if we can just take the time to dedicate to how can I make this work for me and reorganize this drawer, it can make all the difference. So I love that advice. With some of us, I find myself, I think, oh, I need to reorganize, and automatically I think, oh, it's going to be so expensive to redo something. Do you have tips that way? Because I find a lot of us, we get caught up in like the Container Store and having to go out and buy all these new bins and stuff. Don't get me wrong, I love the Container
I
Store,
know, me too,
but
but
it can add up. It can be expensive. Like,
oh
how
yeah.
can we use those everyday things, or how can we think outside of the box to create this sense of organization and clutter-free?
Yeah, once again, it's one of those things. So I have tried every organized system I think on the market. I love it. I used to be just obsessed and everything matched, and then all my kids' rooms organized match. Like I've done it all and I've spent a fortune. And when it's all said and done, the truth is a shoebox works just as well. And they're free, right? So
Oh,
there
yes.
are so many really simple things that you can get that you can put into your drawers. We don't see inside of our drawers, right? We see inside our drawers, but our company doesn't. So when I'm organizing my kids' dressers or for our winter stuff, like in our entranceway, inside all the drawers, so in our entranceway, we have an old dresser. And inside the dresser, to keep things organized so it's not just one chaotic thing, I actually just have old shoe boxes, and each of us have our own shoe box, and that keeps everything separate and divided. Now, I could have spent a fortune at one of the Container Stores getting beautiful ones that matched and whatever. No one sees them.
That's
They're all
right.
white in the middle, right? So inside of our dressers, and that's something that I do for my younger children, is in their dressers, we actually have boxes as dividers to help keep things a little more organized. So their socks are all just in one shoe box, and then their underwear as well. And we do that for shorts and pants. And when that shoe box is full, that's how many clothes they have. And that's how we keep a handle on the abundance of things that we tend to have, and especially clothing. So with owning a clothing store, a consignment store at that, I have seen all sorts of purging happen in the closet and in the kids' rooms and in our rooms. And the amount of clothing we have is kooky, right? We just have so much. And once again, I know most people have heard this statistic, but it really is true, right? So we wear 20% of our clothing 80% of the time. The same is true for our children. So I just give us boxes and we stay within the parameters of that one or two box for how many pairs of tights my little one needs, or so on and so forth. So getting creative with things you have in your home. They also do have a lot of really great options at the dollar store as well. You don't have to spend 10, 12, 15, $20 on a little clear box. But also, like I use cracker boxes. You just cut the top off of them and they have nice sturdy sides, cereal boxes. I mean, it's endless. We have them all in your groceries. So everything you like, when you look at your what you have with your groceries, what you're throwing out, so much of that can be used. And then we hold on to ones if we don't have a space for them right now. I hold on to ones with really sturdy sides because they come in handy in our desks, all over the place. So I think just look at what you have and remember that most of the things that you're using them for, no one else is going to see but you. So if you want to put your money into that, that's fair, do that. But if you don't, then just use what you have. No one's going to know it's a Cheerios box.
Oh, I never thought to do that. That's I'm like I'm in my head. I'm thinking, oh, where's my shoe boxes? Like that's a great. I have this urge now to go and organize, and I love that. It's motivational. For you, like you have four kiddos, you're busy, and then I want to ask, how do you keep everyone on top of staying organized? Because it's so easy to do all that, and then get swept up in.
Yeah.
I don't have time to put this away right now. So it just gets thrown into that chair or, onto the bench and nothing really gets put away and organized. Is there a trick to that or is that just how we are as humans? Because I've tried everything. I've tried bribing, like charts, stickers, everything.
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, obviously, when it becomes your lifestyle, the family eventually starts getting more on board. It's really hard when you're changing things up. So we've recently even just changed our eating, and we are trying very hard to remove. So myself and one of our daughters is really prefers vegetarian. We very rarely eat meat, where of course the other four people in my family love meat. So we are trying to switch up our diet so that everyone can have a little more of what they want. That's hard to get people on board. Over time, it'll become easier because it becomes our lifestyle. So the same is true for when you're organizing your home. When we're making these big decisions, I think first, and you've heard me say this before, but talk to your family, have conversations, talk about what you're doing, talk about the items that you're going to keep, the items that you're going to rehome, and get them involved. The other thing, especially with our children, is take note of the areas that are becoming out of control cluttered. So if that chair is becoming the catch-all for everything, then remove the chair.
That's
So
like, talk about an aha moment, duh.
right. So flat surfaces become catch-alls. They just do, right? They're so easy to put the stack of papers on. If there wasn't a flat surface there, what would you do? You would find another home for them. And if there was a filing cabinet on the wall, that would be even easier yet. So we just look at the areas that are those areas that you're going, oh my gosh, your clothes always end up in the chair in the corner, or your stuffies never. Always end up at the end of your bed. Well, then maybe at the very end of the bed, you put a cute little basket and the stuffies can be tossed into the basket instead of scattered all over the bed or so on, right? So I think we just need to break things down and start just looking at, and I know this is so hard, right? Because it honestly, I get that it's really frustrating. As I said, I have four kids. I'm not immune to being frustrated about socks on the floor or toys scattered. But if we remove the frustration part of it and look at it as a puzzle that needs to be solved, we actually can come up with some pretty creative ideas. We tend to kind of get fogged up because it's the same thing every day. I'm always asking you to move your clothes. And so if we can remove that and say, okay, so the problem is maybe we need another laundry basket. The clothes are always on the floor because, and you take them off in this area of your bedroom all the time. What if we removed the chair and we added a laundry hamper instead? And then it's just getting them involved with it, right? Like it's just repetition for a lot of it too. And getting them involved with things younger. We're really have our kids be really active in the running of our home as far as. How do we, like when we're cooking meals, helping them be involved with that? When we're doing laundry, having them be involved with their own laundry so that they can be a part of the process. And then part of it's just we have to release some of the control. Sometimes there's just going to be some stuff. But on a whole, I find if you just look at the areas that are causing you, that are triggering you, once again, you'll probably come up with a pretty creative solution that works for your home. And I find in most cases, it's actually removing things. We have a lot of stuff.
Well, and isn't one of the best feelings purging?
For me,
Like,
it is.
for me, I love to go to the dump. I love to, it's just something about getting that energy of clutter out of the house is so beautiful. And, the chair, like removing the chair, it makes so much sense because it, you can maybe bring it back at a later date, but to get into the habit of putting things away, that's a great tool to use.
Well, yeah, and being a part of it with our children too, right? Like, I know often we tend to, or I know for myself, I was just kind of barking a lot of orders, and I wasn't taking the time to be involved with my children in the process that I was, or in the moment that I was at barking the order at them. Like, clean up your shoes, pick up this, pick up that, do your room, organize your bookshelf, things like that. And I felt like I was just kind of like doing all this stuff. And when I slowed things down, and we got in, and I kind of worked through the process with them. Then, when it was time to kind of step back and I could say, can you please go to your bookshelf? They knew exactly what I was asking them to do instead of just barking a bunch of orders. So it became a little bit easier. I'm not going to say it's going to be perfect. They're kids and it can be really tricky, but sometimes it's slowing it down and realizing that we are teaching them life skills when we're taking the time to talk to them about their items, to have a level of respect for the things in their room. And you can't just say, have respect for that. They don't understand that. That's a lot like saying, you should be grateful for your food because there's children that are starving. I was told that a lot when I was a child. It didn't wholly resonate because we can't know what we don't know. And when we're children, we can't know this stuff. We have to be taught it. And so when they're watching us respect our space, when they're watching us respect their stuff and teaching them why and being a part of it and touching the stuff, and I don't know, there's just so much power in that. And I think that's where it just becomes part of the way the family works. Once you start really breaking it down and being intentional about the items you have in your home. And I mean, as I said before, when we have so much stuff, it's really hard to respect it all. As much as we want to, it's hard to teach our children to respect 97 Barbies. But when they have
Yes.
three that they absolutely love, you will see a totally different level of how they care for those items.
Absolutely. I know my daughter did a big purge of her room, and the respect she has now for, she has two bins under her bed, and that's all she has for toys. Everything else is, she purged, but she is so proud of those two little bins, and she has kept her room clean. It has been amazing, the change from clutter and overwhelm of toys and excess books and everything to just those two bins and a bookshelf. That's all she
Oh,
has, and she loves it because she took control and it's her space now. And the feeling, I kind of pointed out to her, I'm like, how does it feel to be in here with a clean room? And she's like, oh, it feels good. And for her, it was just making those little awarenesses really apparent to her, to slow it down, ask her, how do you feel in this space right now? Because she's a feeler. You can try and ration with her all you want, but she has to feel it. And so when she did that, she's now, I'm going to keep my room clean. And she's done an excellent job. It's been like 2 weeks of a clean room. I'm
Yay.
just like awestruck. And the other thing, like you mentioned, that we have to set an example for our kids. They know a lot of us, like you said, we're really guilty of barking orders or saying, go clean your room, go clean your room. But our rooms end up being the catch-all because we can just shut the door. We have everyone else's rooms clean, the kitchen's clean, living room, whatever. But then our room ends up being the catch-all because we put ourselves last. And so when we take pride in that, like you mentioned, it's making it a family goal or a family awareness of keeping everything clean. Then they see that too, and then they start to act more appreciative of their space because they're seeing you now respect your space, and it's so important.
It
I
is
love that you brought
important.
that up.
Yeah. And I think it's also really important to point out that this isn't a house is spotless all the time sort of situation. And that is never anything, as I said, I am real. You've known me long enough now. Like it's really real. Like you have to live in your home. So I know some people might hear that and go, oh, sure, like it's about keeping the house spotless all the time. It's absolutely not. Live in your
No.
homes. Live in your homes. If there's anything that anyone hears today, I want you to live in your homes, but live in a way that serves your family. So if you would rather be playing game night, and game night is very difficult because you have paper all over your dining room table, and then the games are scattered all over, and you can't find the pieces and all those things. And then that's the area you focus in on, right? So the goal of all of this is to create a space that helps you live in your home, not just exist in it.
Oh, I love that. Yes, it's we have to remember that there are spaces to live, not just to exist in, and we're not just coming and going. We're hunkered down, we're living here, and it has to feel like a home.
It does, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your tips and tricks on organization and making the house feel cozy and organized and clutter-free. And do you have another book coming out? You have three out right now, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, I do have a fourth book that just got finished and it was sent off to my agent. And then right now comes the part of releasing and waiting. So yeah, I have to wait to hear back from her and to get everything lined up with that. But as soon as I have some details, I'll shoot them your way for sure.
Yeah. Now, how do tell us a little bit about your books, your children's books, because I was flipping through one, maybe two or three of them at your store way back. And could you just, I love them. Could you tell us a little bit about them? Because if you don't have a book by Jennifer, you definitely want one. They are amazing children's books. And there's a really great theme around them.
Yeah,
Would you?
for sure. So there are several different books. So my book, I have a mouse series, we call it, and the main character is a little mouse. And the first book, there's three books in the series. The newest book coming out is the third book to finish that series off. And all my books are they're multi-layered, as I like to call them. They really are, I say they're grown-up books disguised as children's books. So they're fun and whimsical and bright. And my graphic designer is phenomenal. And my illustrator is just bonkers talented. And they've created such incredible artwork for our children to look at that play along with the flow of the rhymes in the books. But they all have lots of different layers depending on the ages of your children. And so they're really just books to that talk about bravery and courage and realizing that we are so much bigger than we think we are, and having the courage to chase that. And so my mouse series is about that. She starts out really shy and not knowing how big she actually is, and eventually, over time, as these books grow, she finds out she is capable of a lot more than she ever thought. And so that's my mouse series. And then the book that came out kind of in the middle of that was a funny little book called I Don't Think I'll Be a Princess. And it was inspired by my youngest, who was three at the time when I wrote it. And I was getting her ready to head off to daycare. And I said, "Oh, you should brush your hair today." And she goes, "No, I think I'll leave it a mess." And I just thought it was such a weird thing for a three-year-old to say. And as I was driving to my store that day, the whole book just poured straight into my brain. And by the time I got to my store, I had staff that had opened, and I was like, "Just a minute, I have to write this down." And in that short time, I Don't Think I'll Be a Princess was born. And it is for all my tree climbing, puddle jumping, want to do it all and do it all unapologetically little girls. And it was inspired by Harper, but it also incorporated a lot of things that I wished I had heard when I was a little girl. I was would have been called a tomboy back then, and it wasn't said as an endearing term. And I loved who I was, and I didn't have a lot of support in that, I didn't feel. And this book was a part of me talking to that little girl as well, saying, "You're 100% perfect, exactly the way that you are." And that's the message in that book. And it's written in a fun rhyme, and the pages are so bright, and I love it.
I love that you're doing this and bringing such important messages into the world and into the hands of families, especially those of young women. So thank you so much for sharing your gifts, sharing your stories, and sharing your tips and tricks on organization and how easy and inexpensive it can be to make your home feel like a home. Jen, if anyone wants to get a hold of you for coaching or grab a copy of your book or for any organizational services, how do we contact you?
Yeah, the best way is just to head over to my website. It is jencourtney.ca, and all my books are available on there, and you can contact me through there. And the neat part about the website is you can actually go on and read the books for free. I think they're powerful messages, and so we want to have them available to anyone who wants them, even if you aren't in the position that you can purchase them right now. So you can go on there and you can read them. You can download a coloring book for free as well, and you can just reach me through there. My email's on there.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to order some books. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me today. I hope you have an amazing day.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Take
You
care.
too.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to the Real People, Real Conversations podcast. I look forward to having you back here in this community. If you want more of a community within this podcast, head on over to Instagram and check us out. Search Real People, Real Conversations to tap in to that platform. As well, please, please share with your friends. Give us a 5-star review so that we can continue to bring you content to help others know they are not alone. Have a great day, guys.